This video is all about getting to neutral. Now, I have mentioned this in previous videos and we've talked a lot about it during the course, but now I really want to stress it and give you the understanding of why it's super important. So you have two selves that are at work here. One, the small self, which is going to be affected by the energy of the past. So it has stories and narratives and ideas about itself, but I'm going to call it an it, right? So that it then runs through itself and defines itself by a certain set of criteria, okay? So there's going to be this little box. Let's say the small self lives in a box and doesn't know that there's way more beyond the box because it doesn't have the capacity to see it until it lets go the walls, right? Until we let that box kind of fade away. And the only way we can do that is by entering into the energy of the soul. And that feels very different. It is not restricted by memory. It is not restricted by the experience of the small self, although it is related to the small self. So in fact, that soul self, that the greater self, knows the same thing as the small self does, but does not see a distinct boundary between the limitations that the small self expects and experiences, because that's all it knows, and the infinite potential that the soul wants to experience. But at the same time, it can't override the small self. The small self, meeting the soul self, drops the boundaries. Now, I want you to really get that, because if I am run by fear or by an old story or by a subconscious program or by the automatic pilot or any of those things that make me or make you, then what's happening is that I'm in a reactive state. So when my cards come up and I don't know them, I'm like, what does that mean? Or when I'm reacting to a situation or to an energy in the room, and my first go-to place is a negative bias or a fear bias, because that's how we're all made. But my soul, the soul self that isn't Chicken Little waking up in the morning going, the sky is falling, right? It knows the sky is not falling. And the way that I get there is to meditate. That is really the way, or to, you know, work it out journaling, which is why you journal all the time, to really say, is this mine? Now, many of us here are getting more and more intuitive, right? You guys are noticing that. The more you do this work, the more open you are to intuitive information. But also on top of that, your empathy gets greater as well. So for example, when there's a world event going on, you haven't turned on the news, you might wake up in the morning going like, oh, why do I feel like this? And you're trying to figure out the story that matches the small self's little box. Like, oh, it must be this. I must be mad at so-and-so, or somebody did this, or this is why I can't control that. It's always about self-centered fear and control. And whatever machination of, I call it the goblin self, which is the wounded ego, is going to come forward at that point. And I make a joke about Chicken Little all the time, because that's what happened to me. The sky is falling. Like, it's, my husband will go, get on your bird, get on your bird. I'm like, the bird shit on my head, right? So you have to kind of go from that initial, you know, boxed in state to like, right, I have to detach because I can't figure it out intellectually. Sometimes it could be solar flares. You know, if you actually look at some of that information on the internet, you'll actually see a correlation between your empathy overload or your hypersensitivity in the morning to a solar flare. So there could be so many things that you don't have access to that are actually affecting your energy just when you wake up in the morning. So what we are learning how to do is to track that energy and to show us, like the cards will reflect to us, what we need to be looking at in order to get back into that harmony state. And that's what we're always doing. What is the highest good? The highest good is harmony. So that when we're inspired by the soul to take an action or to create something, which is about co-creation, that's always to bring harmony to the whole. It's never to do something destructive unless it's necessary that that thing needs to be destructed or deconstructed in order to build something new, which is also part of this complexity of the human experience when we are entering into a chaotic state, for example. Remember I talked about that earlier in the lessons where I talk about moving from a small pot into a bigger pot. you know, you're in this limited pot when the, like the small self goes, this is my pot. Right? And the soul has the roots, right? And the root, the soul's going, yeah, but I don't fit in here anymore. But until you're willing to take that out, then you could get rotted in there, if you know what I'm saying. So now all of a sudden you're in the bigger pot, you have more expanse, you aren't sure of yourself yet. And those roots have to widen in order for more leaves to grow. And I know I'm using the plant analogy because it really is the simplest thing for us to actually consider. Right, yeah, I'm moving to a new pot. This is what this is about. Still having a level of container. We need a container. We're humans. The soul needs the container of the human in order to express itself in the material world. That's why I use that analogy of a pot, because the pot actually is the container. So we want a bigger container to play in. And if it's too infinite, then it won't be true to you. That's the other thing. So infinite potential actually is in essence going to be limited to the degree that is unique to you, not to the degree that is unique to your small self, because that's the degree that it relates only to the past, because you are a sum total of your past, not yet of what you're going to co-create in your future, unless you open up that dialogue. Now, that's a lot to absorb, but I'd like you to watch this video a few times so you get what I'm saying, because this is such a key piece, especially moving forward when we talk to other people. Why would we not want to do that, right? Like, why wouldn't we want to take our cards and go, want to do a reading, right? So, you know, we're at a stage now where we want to at least get our toe wet in seeing how spirit can communicate to us about someone else's story. And so that we start to understand human nature a little bit better. Now, the mentors in the class have already done all this. This is like level two stuff. So you're really getting your feet wet, your teeth cut, however those, you know, analogies are about getting into something new. And level two is all about that. It's all about all the deeper layers and more of the psychedelic stuff, I like to say, because that's when it gets really cool. But right now, you've come this far about you. Why don't we look at the rest of the world then? Like, why don't we use the cards to see beyond the self? And then we start to learn more about ourselves as well. And then the cycle can continue. So we want you to get to a place now where you're saying, okay, if I am going to look at someone else, then I better know who I am and what vantage point that I'm actually seeing through. That's going to be crucial and important for me to get even better at this understanding how I track my own energy so that I don't project that onto someone else. Now, many of you have noticed that similar cards are being pulled amongst your peers in the group, so that there's themes that you guys all share, and you're starting to see that and comment on that. I've seen many, many comments about like, wow, yeah, me too, me too, me too. And that's because you are actually sharing the unified field. We are sharing unified consciousness. So you have to assume when you're talking to somebody that you don't know well, that they also share this unified consciousness. So you are going to see things in a reading for someone else that is meant to teach you something too. That's why you hear me say that everyone is each other's oracle. That it, whatever that you post in the room can actually help someone else too. They may not have picked that card, but reading your post is an oracle for them. So this is this way that spirit works anonymously using the human being and the words that we speak, which is called a kleidon. So it's an innocent oracle that's been, comes from Greek culture. It's a word that you've heard me say many times. I talk about it in my book, Messages from Spirit. The idea that you could, in fact, get a message meant for you that relates to your dominant energy that is actually spoken through someone else, not even about you. So we'll see that a lot more now, too. Okay, so let's move on now to how to actually tell what our energy is. And I'll see you in the next video.